This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline now. We're joined by our good friend, Doug Deacon. Deke, how you doing? How you feeling? How's your family?
Doing good. Obviously, I think I'm working on a haircut that would Beatles would be envious of.
Is it as long as college, or is it?
It's getting close. I'm going back to the 70s.
We need a picture, Deke.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
No picture?
No pictures, man. But it's by the day. Every time I go to wash it and dry it, it said. I don't have that much, but what I have is still growing.
Washing and drying hair. Oh, I remember those days. They were fun.
I'm sorry to tease you, Jeff.
Thanks, Doug.
That's funny. Hey, Doug. We're a week removed from the draft. We haven't had a chance to talk to you. What have you thought of the Browns' offseason here? What they did in free agency and the way they look now after the draft?
Well, I think they did a good job of filling in the holes of the different positions that they needed. Obviously. You always go into the draft, best player available or best player available at the position of need. And I think they kind of combined both and were able to do it. Obviously the left tackle position was one that was of great concern. So you're going to play the longest yard, we weren't going to have Gregory Robinson. So it was one of those where they got Wills, who's a good tackle. He's only played right tackle, there at Alabama, but he's got the skill set, and I think talking to Linda Leone, who is Nick Saban's secretary down in Alabama, she says he's just a really good guy and a hard worker. So those are the things that you need to play at this level.
Doug, you played left tackle in the NFL. You were not a left tackle. You were a tight end. You learned how to play left tackle. Can you move from the right to the left without any major issues if you're a normal football player?
Well, you can. I just think it's some muscle conditioning in regards to getting in a left-handed stance. I wasn't athletic enough to do it. I played left tackle in a right-handed stance for 14 years, but I think in today's college and in the way they train people today, they have much more flexibility, and the footwork is the important part. I mean, everybody thinks, you go back to when the Packers drafted Tony Mandridge, I think first or second overall, and he was just muscle-bound freak out of Michigan State, and it was a whiff because he just couldn't move his feet. So if you've got a guy that can move his feet, once you get in, that solved, all you have to do is, get in position and kind of absorb the defender and kind of try to walk him back to the quarterback as best you can, which just eats up time.
Deke, what did you think of Jedrick Wills when they drafted him, and what can he bring to the table for this team?
Jedrick Wills? Mm-hmm. I think, he's going to bring you a left tackle. It's got a little tenaciousness to him. He's I think, a very highly motivated young man. And I think that's something that was missing at that position last year. I mean, Greg Robinson was a second overall pick, and, I think he just took that and kind of didn't really work with it. He had the physical body to be a good football player, but his work ethic and his attitude, I think, was something that, it was kind of a bit of a cancer with the offensive line, because I don't think the other guys on the offensive line appreciated his work or lack of work ethic.
Doug, we're going to take a look at the offensive line a little bit later on here in the show, but here you go out and you draft a left tackle, and you draft him high, so you're hoping he becomes a terrific player. You signed a terrific right tackle. Your left guard and your center are under contract for a few years. You need a right guard, but you have plenty of candidates. For the first time in a long time, it looks like there's a crew here that's going to be together, be pretty good, and maybe be your offensive line for, what, 2, 3, 4 years?
Yeah, and I think, you know, the one thing about that really going to help Wills is the fact that he's got Joel Bitonio next to him. You know, when I broke into the league, you know, I was fortunate enough to have Gene Hickerson next to me, although that was always a kind of a work in progress with Gene because you never knew what he was going to do. But, you know, and the other thing about it is we're going to run a lot of two tight end sets. So when you run the two tight end sets, that kind of reduces the defensive end from going out there real wide where it forces the tackle to play in space. So in some ways, it's kind of like having training wheels on as you begin your career, because if you put a tight end over there, he can, you know, chip on the defensive end, or, you know, it brings the defensive end in closer to the tackle so he doesn't have to play so much in space.
Deke, you talked about two tight ends. You know, we've talked a little bit about maybe even having three tight ends out on the field at some point. What does that do for Baker Mayfield? You know, you've got two high-quality wide receivers. You've got two quality running backs. You're going to might maybe run, you know, two tight ends or three tight ends and a fullback. How is the offense going to change next year as far as, you know, just about being balanced and having quality talent at all the positions around him?
Well, I think the one thing is it really, you know, gets you some mismatches. You know, a lot of times when you have the three wide receivers, you're bringing in the nickel backs and stuff. Now you're bringing in linebackers or safeties to, you know, try to cover the tight ends because you're looking at probably a run-heavy formation. But, you know, you've got some guys that, you know, can run down the field. I mean, Njoku is, you know, he's probably one of the most athletic, you know, tight ends in the league. He just needs consistency with his hands. But, you know, if he can do that, I mean, this guy can, you know, go down the seam and outrun any linebacker that would try to cover him. So, you know, then you throw in Harrison Bryant, you know, who is, you know, I guess he originally started as a tackle, and then they moved him in. That you know, you're always looking for that next George Kittle, and they think that he's got some of those, you know, skill sets. So you've got some guys that, you know, really, you know, is going to make the defense adjust to what you're doing.
Doug Deacon joining us, color analyst on the Browns Radio Network. Deke, with Andrew Berry coming in, we all thought, all right, well, he was here a little while. He went to Philadelphia. He's a young guy. Wonder what he has in mind. Now we've seen his work in free agency. We've seen his work in the first draft. What do you take away from it? What kind of a GM do you perceive him to be from the moves that he's made so far?
Well, I think, you know, if you look over the course of the last probably 6, 7 years, you know, when Sashi Brown was here, they were always trading down trying to collect draft picks with the idea that, you know, the more picks you had, the better percentage you have, you know, making having players that were going to stick. And then John Dorsey came in, and John, you know, realized he had to pump some life into the roster, and he took a couple suspect guys with the idea that, you know, he'd pump up the program, and then, you know, after a year or so, you know, he could go get those quality guys. And I think that's what Andrew did. He went out and got some quality people.
Deke, what is your assessment of the front office right now and the kind of guys that they've brought in through free agency and in the draft? Because, you know, Jeff and I've said this to Jeff before, I feel like they've got the boat in some steady water and that they've made some solid, smart moves as far as bolstering this team.
Yeah, I think they have. And I think, you know, last year with Freddie being a first-year head coach, it was just kind of overwhelmed him. I mean, he was trying to call plays, trying to coach the team, and you know, for a guy that got his first taste of being an offensive coordinator in just 8 games, that was a pretty heavy load. And I, you know, you heard the players talk about adjustments after the first 20 plays. And I think, you know, as we watched the team during the course of the season, we saw that, you know, they didn't really kind of game plan where, okay, they're doing this, we're going to do this. They just tried to run their basic offense. And I think, you know, one of the things that got Freddie is that he wanted the players to like him and not so much respect him. And you have to have a coach that the players respect. And if you have that, then I think you're going to have better discipline. And that was a very undisciplined football team last year.
Doug Kevin Stefanski hasn't had a chance to show anybody his coaching yet, but we've heard him, we've watched him in press conference settings. He's obviously had input into the draft because look at the type of players that were drafted and they kind of fit his scheme. What have your impressions been of Stefanski so far? Because Andy and I both kind of thought the same thing I thought about Freddie. Man, I love this guy in a press conference. I sure hope he can coach.
Yeah, he kind of brings a calm to it. I mean, he really is somebody that's, you know, well-prepared and obviously a very heavy thinker. And I think, you know, in the game of football, you have to make, you know, split-second decisions out there on the field. And, you know, standing on the sidelines is always not the best vantage point to see really what's going on. And it's a combination of not only having, you know, him there and having a steady voice, but also, you know, the people up in the coaches' booth that are, you know, relaying the information down to him. And I think, you know, one of the other problems with Freddie was the disconnect between him and Todd Monken. And I think, you know, obviously Kevin went out and got people that, you know, he has, you know, faith in, and, you know, he hasn't really worked with them before, but just, you know, seeing Kevin's demeanor, I don't think he'll have any problem working with anybody.
Deke, going back to Baker Mayfield for just a second, what do you expect to see out of him next year, and what do you think he learned last year?
Well, I think the one thing he learned is, you know, the only way you can get chemistry is by playing with the guys. And one of the problems I think they had last year was that, you know, the receivers were banged up, and they probably threw more balls to his wide receivers in the games than he did in practice, because they were usually, you know, shut down or, you know, waiting for the Sunday afternoon. And, you know, you have to go out and play together to get chemistry. And I think, you know, that was one of the things that was, you know, truly, you know, lacking. And I think, you know, your sophomore year, you know, everybody gets a chance to watch you on tape for a year. And, you know, they prepare for you. And I think, you know, now, you know, he's got a chance to realize that, you know, they have to prepare for the opponent. You just, you know, can't go out there and think that you're going to run any kind of play that you want and it's going to work. You have to develop the chemistry.
Doug, last year there was so much hype about the Browns, and it seemed like it was a little early, and then it certainly didn't materialize during the season. But this year I almost think it's gone the other way, and I'm not sure I understand why. I saw some power rankings, for whatever those are worth today, and the Browns were ranked 26th in the NFL. And it was, I just thought, really? I think they're a much better team than that. Do you have any expectations yet? Because I can't imagine this team being near the bottom of the NFL this year.
No, I wouldn't see that either. I think, you know, last year was overhyped. You know, obviously, you know, when they brought in Odell, everybody thought, whoa, you know, this guy's going to be the big difference maker. But, you know, Odell was, you know, kind of banged up and wasn't a big, you know, factor. And then you had shuffling your right guard throughout the season. That didn't help the team in a lot of ways. And I just believe that, you know, they're going to go in and with the idea this year they've been humbled by what happened last year. Everybody, you know, was patting them on the back and telling them how good they are. Well, that doesn't translate with the other 31 teams in the NFL. They're saying prove it. And, you know, last year they had a lot of problems. I mean, they had turnovers, yet on the defensive side they didn't have the takeaways they had the year before. And it was, you know, one hand's got to wash, you know, help the other hand. And, you know, the defense has got to set up the offense, and the offense has, you know, got to put points on where the defense can play with the lead.
Doug, speaking of the go ahead, Jeff.
Sorry, Andy, go ahead.
That's all right. No, go.
Doug, do you think that right guard spot is wide open, or do you think Wyatt Teller has an edge on it? Could it be Chris Hubbard, maybe Drew Forbes, or one of the other guys that might be on the
Well,
team?
I think, you know, they'll play that out. And the good thing about it is, you know, guard is an easier position to fill than tackle. And I know Robert Jackson will probably be mad at me for saying that, but, you know, it's the truth of the situation, because you have people on both sides and you only have to play in a limited space. I think, you know, they can fill that spot. They, you know, have three candidates, and obviously if you know, hopefully one of the three will, you know, will work out. And we didn't get a chance to see enough of Drew Forbes to really you know, have an idea of what we really have there. But, you know, there's a good chance that, you know, one of those three will, you know, will be able to, you know, carry it out for 16 games.
Deke, last question. Do you think the Browns need to go out and get at least a veteran linebacker to just give them someone with some seasoning? Because if you look now, I mean, you're talking about Jacob Phillips, who just got here, Satone Takitaki, who's only been here for 1 year, Mack Wilson, who's only been here for 1 year. There isn't a lot of experience at linebacker on the Browns right now.
No, there isn't. And I don't know. You know, they picked up a couple free agents that have played. Obviously, you can't fill all your holes in, you know, one draft and one free agency period. But, you know, I think, you know, that's the next area that needs to be addressed. And, you know, hopefully the young kids can, you know, step in and, you know, learn. The thing is, they've got some experience behind them, and you know, it's one of those things where you can't patch it all in one draft. And I do believe that you know, if there's somebody available that, you know, it's going to be an upgrade. They're, you know, they're, I think, the highest team in regards to salary cap money. So you know, they, you know, can try to fix it that way.
Can't wait to see the hair, Doug. I want a picture.
Well, what's left is long.
Deke, I'm thank envious. You very much.
Envious, Deke.
Thank you.
Okay, guys.
Thanks, Doug.
All right,
okay.
Deke, I'll let him borrow some of my hair. That way we'll
I'll take
a little
some.
Better. All right, Doug Deacon, thank you very much. Again, Doug, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.